Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning, Acadiana. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. And we are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Reunited, and it feels so good. I see you behind the glass, my man, my old friend, Cody Schutz. How are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm great. I have shaved, I believe, since the last time you saw me. I got a haircut on Wednesday. A lot of things have changed since you've been gone. It's way too early to sing. But welcome back. Good to see you sitting in the chair there, RP3. It's Friday, too. It's my favorite day of the week.
That's right, so, buddy. Rant of the week, RPOs. Woo, we're going to finish the week strong.
I hope so. I'm looking very much forward to that. And after we get to 9 o'clock, this morning when the show is over, I will then build a time machine to then get me to quit in time today as fast as possible. That's my game plan for today. That's how I'm going to try to execute my day. Finish RP3 and Company, post it online, build a time machine, and skip to quit in time. That's my checklist for today.
Well, it's a good thing then I brought a DeLorean back from Hoover, Birmingham then. Yes?
88 miles an hour. How many gigawatts is it going to take? 1.21 gigawatts.
Oh, man. We survived SEC Media Days. Survived it. We'll put a bow on our SEC Media Days recap coverage from the final day yesterday later in today's show. That'll be coming up. We'll also, as I stated, have the rant of the week, RPOs with RP3, and we got not one, not two, but three guests are going to be coming on. We'll have our boy Barry Hurstis. Rookies have reported for training camp yesterday. The vets come next week. Woo! Football is right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to Barry of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He'll give us his storylines to watch heading into training camp down there in Metairie. We'll also talk to our good buddy, Tyler Nunes of Tiger Rag. That's right. He'll dive into all the former LSU players after they wrapped up Summer League. Kind of give us some insight on each one of those, including the big fella, Naz Reid, who got himself some money yesterday. Also touch on a little LSU football with Tyler Nunes. That'll be coming up in hour number three at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. And then the legend himself, the Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, Dan McDonald, will be joining us at 8:32 today to break down the new charity golf tournament in honor of the late Tony Robichaux. He also gives us his thoughts concerning the new baseball coach hire, and much more. But that's where we're going to begin today's show, with the new man in charge for the Raging Cajun baseball team. They went in a direction of getting one of their own. They went in the direction of hiring someone that understands the culture that Tony Robichaux built over the course of 25 years, understands the area, understands the university, and more importantly, understands the expectations that comes with being the head coach of the Raging Cajun baseball team. And as we've talked about it on this show numerous times, that has more to do with turning boys into young men. It has more to do with that than it does wins and losses. Matt Deggs was officially introduced as the Raging Cajun head baseball coach yesterday. The news broke 2 days ago. They had the press conference yesterday. It was an emotional day for everyone involved, including Deggs. Once again, Deggs served as an assistant coach, very successful assistant coach under Tony Robichaux for a few years. But his story really begins before then. Player tried to make it in the bigs, tried to make his way up into the bigs, did not happen. Went into coaching, first started off at Northwestern State. Then from there, he makes his way up. Arkansas starts building his name there at a Power 5 conference as an assistant coach. And from Arkansas, he gets to Texas A&M. But it's at Texas A&M where things go sideways. It's there where his personal demons start taking over. His best friend at Texas A&M has to fire him. Alcoholism takes over. He's out of coaching. His dreams of being a big-time collegiate baseball coach are dashed. He's working a 9-to-5 job, making $11 an hour. But through a mutual friend, he talks to Tony Robichaux, and Robe gave him a second chance. Robe gave him a second chance to get his life together, gave him another chance to get his coaching career back on track. And that's exactly what happened. Not only did he get his career back on track, he also got sober and got his life together. And after Tony did that for him and gave him that opportunity, which he seized and took advantage of and put his life and his career back on track through hard work, determination, and conviction, he got a job. He got an opportunity to be a head coach in baseball. Sam Houston State. And, of course, he had an immense amount of success. Immense amount of success. Went to two NCAA regionals, even went to an NCAA super regional. And now after 5 years of coaching at Sam Houston State in the Southland Conference, he comes to UL to take over for the man who gave him another opportunity. This is what Deggs had to say about Tony Robichaux and how he saved his life, and that he's here today to tell him thank you.
7 years ago, Coach saved my life, and he saved my family. I'm here today to say thank you, Coach. We're here today because of him. Coach always liked to say that he wanted guys that would drink through a water hose. Well, I'm here today, Cajun Nation, to sign up. Sign me up, because that's just my game.
Now, let the record show that right after that, he told some, Deggs told some, I'll call it a joke, about how when he grew up in Texas, his mama wasn't ever chunking no Gatorades over the fence to him. He had to learn to go drink from the water spigot, and that for the first 30 seconds you're drinking through the water was hot as hell.
Yep.
But you had to drink through the hot water before you could get to the cold. And it was just one of those, it was a weird analogy to draw, but it made sense in the tech conversation. But I'm just trying to get a little bit of Matt Deck's character. He followed that statement with a story about his mama not chunking him no Gatorades over the fence when he was a kid.
Yep.
So he's a very inspiring man. I'll give him that much.
Seems like the right fit. It just feels that way, right?
The room agreed yesterday. I'll say that.
Deggs would further go into why he chose to return to UL, and it had everything to do with his relationship with God, his faith.
Sam Houston State is an amazing place, led by amazing people, with amazing alumni and donor and fan base, and we were able to accomplish amazing things there. But ladies and gentlemen, we just felt the Lord nudging our heart. He was telling us to get out and get uncomfortable. Get out, choose a different path, and go on a new journey. And we were still looking for signs for that as a Sunday. And we went to church, and we're all, I think, collectively as a family sitting there praying, Lord, give us a sign, Lord, give us a sign, Lord, give us a sign. And this is in Huntsville, Texas now, right? The first thing the preacher leads off with this past Sunday is a Thibodeau and Boudreaux joke about an old man from Crowley, Louisiana. Can't make it up. And then the Lord started laying it on pretty thick. Because after church, there was a young lady sitting in front of me. This is in Huntsville. And after church, she turned around to me. And she said, Coach Deggs, I just want you to know I'm sorry about Coach Robe. And I said, thank you, sweetie. And she goes, I played soccer at UL. And I said, all right, Lord, we got it. It's time to get out and get uncomfortable.
Boy, it sure sounds like the guy to be the Raging Cajuns baseball coach to me. If you just take away the wins and losses and his success as an assistant coach both at UL and at Arkansas and Texas A&M and what he brings to the table, specifically as a hitting coach, you think – just listen to the guy talk. You're like, yeah, this is the guy to follow Robe. Like, it just feels that way. Obviously, he had a strong relationship with Tony, and he recounted the first time they met all those years ago.
Coach Robe gave me an opportunity when nobody else in the country would give me an opportunity. And upon my very first meeting with him, the very first thing that he told me, see, I was dead, folks. I was gone. Very first thing this man told me was, I don't care what you've done. He was kind of like that. I don't care. He goes, what I do care about is what you're gonna do. And I said, all right, where do I sign? And he quickly went on to become my boss, my mentor, and one of my best friends.
Mentor, one of his best friends. It was a powerful press conference, without a doubt. And he also elaborated about that he's here today. That he personally feels that he's here today to stand up and to work hard and to continue to lead Raging Cajun baseball for years to come, to keep leading this program to new heights.
You know, Coach Robe imparted a lot of wisdom on us. We call them Robeisms, right? And one of his Robeisms has really just been speaking to me and sticking in my gut lately. Coach Robe said this. He said, everybody wants to sit down when it's time to stand up. He said, we're looking for guys that stand up, not sit down. He said, yeah, you can go ahead and sit down. He actually said this. You can curl up in the fetal position, which is only something only he would say. And he said, it's going to be easy and it's going to be comfortable, but not us. We're looking for dudes that will stand up. Well, Coach, let me tell you today, I'm here, and I'm ready to stand up. I ain't sitting down. It's time to stand up. You were right. We have to stand up. I'm here to stand up, roll up my sleeves, punch the card, and get back to the business of raging Cajun baseball.
Gotta love the passion, the genuine passion for the game of baseball that he has, but you can tell he has a genuine passion and the utmost respect for Tony and this program, and he's not going to half-ass this. You can count on that. Like, you can just tell this guy is going to take this seriously. He's going to be passionate about it, and he wants to honor the man who he credits for helping save his life. We got to hit a break. We'll talk more about Matt Deggs, the new Raging Cajuns baseball coach, coming up after this break. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, we're going to honor Coach Rowe by the way we go about our daily actions every day. And, you know, and how we develop men, mind, body, spirit, how we maintain relationships, okay, how we handle our business on and off the field. In all of those ways, how we get down the line, how we get off the field, how we play hard, play with a passion, get dirtier than another team. You know, we're going to honor Coach Rowe through our actions, and I think that's the number one way that his legacy will live, and it'll live forever. I can promise you this, whatever it costs to get in the game here, you will get your money's worth. You're going to see a scrap.
Matt Deggs telling Cajun Nation exactly what they can expect to see when they come to Teague Field at Russo Park in the years to come. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber, 133 and 1133 in high definition. If you'd like, you can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Matt Deggs, former UL assistant coach, was officially introduced yesterday as the new head baseball coach of the Raging Cajuns, replacing the late Tony Robichaud, who passed away earlier this month. Deggs comes over from Sam Houston State, where he had a successful five-year run, which includes two NCAA regional appearances and one NCAA super regional appearance. We led off the show talking about what the program means to him, what Tony meant to him, how Tony saved his life. He talked about it during yesterday's press conference. And if you want to know, read more about the introductory press conference of Matt Deggs, by all means, go to 1037thegame.com. Check out our story from the press conference written by the one and only Cody Schutz, producer extraordinaire. But he also talked about expectations, and he brought out a trip to Omaha would be the biggest way to honor what Tony has done here at UL.
And there will be no bigger honor in my career. We can win a national championship, fully intend on it. There will be no bigger honor than having this family ask me to carry Coach Robichaud's torch. None. I would take a bullet for that man, and I knew it within the first week I was around him.
Deggs said there'd be no better way to honor Tony or to carry on the torch for the program that he built over 25 years, where he brought unprecedented levels of success, multiple NCAA regionals, multiple conference championships, both tournament and regular season, NCAA super regional appearances, and, of course, that historic trip to the College World Series, the first one in program history, also the first time a team from the Sun Belt Conference advanced to the College World Series in Omaha. It's also the last time a team from the Sun Belt Conference advanced to Omaha. Remember, Coastal Carolina was not a member of the Sun Belt Conference beforehand.
Yeah, it's one of those weird
weird
tweener years for them, but your statement is factual.
It is. Thank you. That's why I made sure to put the disclaimer on there. Now, Deggs also came out and said that there's no excuses. There'll be no excuses here based on what Tony was able to do here as the head coach, the amount of talent that he was able to recruit, the facilities, everything like that. Deggs made a statement yesterday during his introductory press conference. There is no excuses, especially after what Tony left the program.
Get back to the business of developing men and winning championships and pushing to get to Omaha every single year. We've got no excuses here. None. Yes, it's true. Coach is not here. But I want you to think about for a second what Coach left us. Think about the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that he imparted to us. It's a roadmap he left us. It's a guide for our life. Think about the history, rich program. One of the top 25 programs in the country he left us. He left us this palace, this pearl. It's a top 15 stadium in the country, maybe a top 10. And he left us the best fan base in America. We got no excuses, people.
That got the crowd riled up.
Oh, he had the crowd on their feet, bruh.
Yeah.
Standing ovations, like hitting the talking points left and right. The man can work a room.
So could Tony.
Oh, well.
Yeah. The Raging Cajuns baseball program is in good hands. Let's just say that.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Finally, he challenged. He's here. He's here to not only honor Tony Robichaux, he's here to continue the great tradition that Tony, the foundation that Tony laid down over the course of 25 years. And his expectations is this is going to be a program that's going to compete to be in Omaha at the College World Series. This is going to be a team that's going to be competing for Sun Belt Conference championships and getting to the postseason year in, year out. And he challenged the Raging Cajun Nation yesterday during his press conference. He challenged them to stand up and be part of what he and this program is going to be doing for years to come.
Coach, you're right. As for me and my family, we will be standing up. We're not sitting down. We're standing up. And I challenge you, Raging Cajun Nation, to stand up with us. Stand up with us. Let's lock hand in hand. And let's walk through the gates of Omaha. Because that's where we're headed. It's time for us to stand. One team. One team, one vision. And I'm a big believer in seeing it. Everything that we've ever done, I've seen it before it happened. I've seen it.
I do believe that Cajun Nation is going to have no problems locking arms with Mad Deggs, the new head baseball coach of the Raging Cajuns. The program is in capable hands. And I believe that Tony Robichaux himself would have signed off on this decision. He reached out. He helped save a man's life, saved his career. And now that man returns to UL to continue to lead the program that Tony built for 25 years. Makes sense. It's the right hire. It's the right man for the job. And the Raging Cajun baseball program is in good hands. We got to hit a break. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll put a bow on SEC Media Days as we recap the final day. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on OUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Well, SEC Media Days, ladies and gentlemen, is in the books. It was 4 days of epic talking season. Lots of talking. Cody, would you like to know how many times the transfer portal was brought up? Just take a guess.
4,612,403.
You're just a little under. Just a little under. Just a little under.
So I still win, though, because Price is Right rules.
Yes, you still win because of the Price is Right. I'm just like, it's like the transfer portal, transfer portal, transfer portal, transfer portal, transfer portal. I was like, oh, my God.
Nick Saban said you can take your transfer portal and shove it.
He just was not. He's like, whatever. We don't need that. We don't use that.
I own these kids. What are you talking about? I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Yes. The final day at SEC Media Days was yesterday. Things were wrapped up. Vandy, Kentucky, Auburn closed out things there at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in lovely Hoover, Alabama.
To tell you how exciting that last day of SEC Media Days must have been. I'm not even trying to down nobody. I'm really not, but
Derek Mason, though, is good.
He is, that dude is scary.
And he is enthusiastic.
Fired up.
My man is fired up. And people, you know, you think of Vandy, you're like, oh, it's Vanderbilt. You know Vandy's been to 2 bowl games the last 3 years? Vandy. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt.
I mean, you're in the SEC. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here because I agree with you because you know me. I'm an SEC guy, so I like to see when SEC schools are going against other conferences. You know, I pull for them. We've established this already.
Yes.
But I don't know. I Vanderbilt, it surprises me. They're in the SEC. As long as they get to 6 wins, they're going to a bowl game. It's that, you know what I mean? I don't want to downplay it because I do pull for them, and I'm happy when they make a bowl game.
Because it happens so rare.
Right, but I do have to play the other side of that coin and saying because of the conference they're in, if they get bowl eligible,
they're
going to a bowl game. So,
well, and the other part of that is because the last 3 years, Vanderbilt has defeated Tennessee, their arch rival, every single year. And Derek Mason yesterday, one of the more senior coaches now in the SEC, which is a crazy thing to say, on what beating the Vols year in and year out does for his program, the Commodores.
It simply means that we're relevant, okay, in the SEC's conversation. I think for us, you know, and time again, you know, it's been about, you know, trying to make sure that we could, you know, keep up with that program, you know, up the road. But, you know, I mean, there's a big combat zone going on the SEC east side of the conference. And right now, you know, looking at Tennessee, you know, man, where they're at, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's done a good job. But, you know, man, for us, we got to continue, man, to make sure that we just don't focus on Tennessee. We focus on winning games in our conference. So I think I believe right now this is the best football team that I've had. I believe Tennessee, man, is making a move, man, to make their program better. But the reality is, you know, man, for us, it'll be about what happens in 2019, not what happened in 16, 17, and 18.
Got to love the energy. Got to love the attitude of Derek
Mason.
Yes.
Did Derek Mason there, in that statement, how he says towards the end how Tennessee is doing things, they're getting better, they're trying to up their program too, but we're going to continue to, you know, beat Tennessee and also look at other schools. Is that Derek Mason pulling kind of like a Paul Heyman to where my guy is the best, but you're really good too? So he's kind of putting the opponent over a little bit in order to make his guy look better,
a little bit.
Or is he hedging his bets a little bit? Because you can slice that cake two ways. Is he hedging his bets to where if they lose to Tennessee, he can say, oh, well, see, I told you they're doing stuff too to get better. I didn't know how to read that one.
It's both.
That's the diplomatic thing to do.
Well, it's both because he is hedging bets because he knows, because Jeremy Pruitt is one of those Saban disciples, so you expect him to at least be able to recruit, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though I think the jury's still out on whether Pruitt can be a head coach.
Oh, he'll get some good kids in that program.
He'll get, you know, the record they had last year, they weren't the, you know, the second worst team in the entire league. Tennessee was. So they've been down and they've had a ton of problems there with coaches. So Mason's been able to take advantage of that. But look, the expectations for Vandy is still what it is.
Right.
Right? It's still...
When's baseball season? That's right. The expectations for Vandy.
And I'm glad you brought up baseball season.
Oh.
Because my favorite moment of day number four, my favorite moment of day four at SEC Media Days in Hoover was when Derek was asked about the Vandy Whistler. Because remember, LSU opens up SEC play this year at Vandy. Okay, week number four. They travel to Nashville. They have to open up SEC play on the road this year. LSU does, Coach O and his boys. Okay. And we know about the Vandy Whistler getting a little mouthy, getting into a little bit of a skerduffle with some LSU fans at the SEC baseball tournament in Hoover. Derek Mason was asked about the Vandy Whistler and would he be arriving and getting himself a seat there for the football game in the fall.
The Vandy Whistler is everywhere. You know, sometimes I think I hear him outside my window. You know, I mean, that's one thing about the Vandy Whistler, man. You can count on him being consistent. So, and expect to see him, you know, at ball games. Expect to hear him. I know he's annoying to y'all, but, you know, man, to us at Vanderbilt there on West End, he's the man.
Oops.
I know
he's annoying. To y'all, he's annoying to y'all.
He had that brief pause. I know he's annoying. To y'all.
To y'all, though.
We love him. We love the guy that just whistles the whole time.
Freudian slip there from your Vandy football coach.
That was I like that. That was nice.
If I was Derek Mason or whoever's in charge of the ticketing office,
I'm getting the Vandy Whistler.
He's getting as many tickets as he wants, front row behind the visiting bench.
There's plenty of tickets to be had for the football games at Vanderbilt.
You're not wrong. I didn't think about that. With so few people in the stadium, it's still thousands of people, but still few people compared to other SEC schools. He actually still may stand out a little bit.
He's
going to
stand out a lot there. Okay,
I'm putting him right behind the visiting bench, though. I'm sorry, especially at football where you're not near as close to the interaction, and the game's already louder in by circumstance. So I would put him directly behind the visiting team bench and give him a megaphone too.
Oh, I would. I'd give him whatever I can. I'd make sure that he's spotlight. Because, look, you're going to have an LSU contingent that's going to go to the game because you get to have the weekend in Nashville, right? So
right.
That seems to be
the city lately.
Right. So you're going to have a good time. You maybe make a nice little three-day weekend out of the trip. How many times do you get the opportunity to go to Nashville? Maybe for a bowl game if you're an LSU football fan. So you're going to have some fans, but that's not going to be a sellout, right? So if I'm Mason and if I'm the football program, hell, if I'm in the athletic department of Vanderbilt, I'm like, Vandy Whistler, we're going to utilize you every which way we can because it makes us relevant. A team that has become relevant and really became relevant last year were the Kentucky Wildcats. They were number two yesterday up on stage. Mark Stoops' bunch was a surprise team, ranked in the top 25. Had the most wins they've had in years, even in a generation. Now, they don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but news broke earlier in the week that the former starting quarterback at Troy, who had double-digit touchdowns, nearly 2,000 yards passing last year, he was granted his transfer. He's arriving at Kentucky. Sawyer Smith is his name, and there's going to be a quarterback competition now in Lexington, and this is what Mark Stoops had to say about the grad transfer, Sawyer Smith from Troy.
It is important to get Sawyer. The fact that he has experience. He's a really talented player, but he's also played in big games. I'm a big believer at that position. You don't know exactly what you have until you get him into a game. And so the fact with us having some transfer leave us, we had a quarterback that was a sophomore that won 10 games. And so we had some departures. It was important to bring some experience in there until we have some of our young quarterbacks have a time to develop. So Sawyer's going to be a big piece of it. How big? I don't know. You know, we'll see when he gets on campus and we get to work with him But I'm excited to have him. I'm excited to have that experience. He's been under pressure. He's played in big games. You've seen him deliver, you know, under pressure. So that's really important to have at that position, as you know.
So it looks like one of the surprise teams out of the SEC East last year is going to be relying on a Sun Belt player to step up and help them keep what they built last year there at Kentucky. I find that to be extremely, extremely interesting. One of the guys that did stand out over the week and yesterday, a player, first of all, tremendous name, Kentucky, Cash Daniel. This is what Mark Stoops had to say about his dynamic playmaker, Cash Daniel.
Cash is, you know, what you love about Cash is what you see is what you get. He's a guy that's very passionate about things, and you got to love that. He's passionate about being from Kentucky, being from Eastern Kentucky, and having a tough blue-collar background that I could certainly relate to. He's selfless. He cares about his team. He cares about winning. Sure, he wants to do good for himself, but he's passionate about his brothers in that locker room, and I think that's why a lot of people relate to him very well.
Which we'll go over here to our left, second row.
And finally, SEC Media Days was wrapped up yesterday in Hoover with Auburn. Gus Malzahn, who it seems like every single year since he's been hired, he's on the hot seat. Remember, he was nearly fired. He was supposed to be the coach that was fired the year Les Miles was fired at LSU. And that game, if that game would have went the other way, it would have been Gus Malzahn being fired. He's perpetually, he's always on the hot seat. They struggle with trying to find a quarterback to run his offense. He's taken back play calling duties. He says that was a big regret giving those up. But this is a little sample of what Gus had to say when he took the stage yesterday at SEC Media Days.
That's what that group did. They started playing good football probably in the last quarter of the season last year, played very good in the bowl game. And then this spring, they held their own against our defensive line. And so they're a real confident group. We can make adjustments. And real pleased going into the season with that offensive line.
And that has been a huge question mark for Auburn during Gus's tenure, is offensive line. That's been part of the reason why his quarterbacks have struggled, even when he has talented guys like Jared Stidham. The offensive line has either not been talented enough or has been injured, and that's thrown a monkey wrench into Auburn's plans of being one of the best teams in the SEC.
I wonder how long that's been a problem at Auburn, the offensive line struggles, because, I mean, they had the success with Cam Newton. I understand, different coach. I get all that. But they had the successes with Cam Newton, but he is a generational type athlete, could make up for downfalls on the offensive line. So I just wonder if Auburn is starting to see the fruits of maybe not focusing on the big guys up front on either side of the ball. And maybe if that is the case, that makes me feel very good about what Coach O is doing with the LSU Tigers, because his focus is absolutely on the big nasties.
Correct. And I don't think Gus's has been. And I think they've missed out on some guys as well. But Gus is so focused on skill position guys to run his offense that I think he's forgotten that you need the big uglies across the lines of scrimmage if you're going to win in the SEC. So, be interested to see. SEC Media Days in the books. If you want to catch up on everything that happened at SEC Media Days, you want videos, you want video interviews, you want stories about all the teams in the SEC so you can get a better grasp on what to expect this upcoming football season, you can go to 1037thegame.com, click on the SEC Media Days tab on the homepage, and you can get everything you want about the annual event that was held in Hoover, Alabama this week. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one right here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also, simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. A few weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, I guess, We asked you, the listeners, did the NBA make a mistake by not drafting Naz Reid, the freshman star from LSU, who arrived on campus in Baton Rouge as a possible lottery pick and then improved after a slow start to the season, improved, learned how to play within his body, developed a little bit of a shot, got better at rebounding. The results from the poll on 1037thegame.com were overwhelmingly yes. Why do I bring that up? Well, after not being drafted in the NBA draft, only two rounds, he was signed to one of those little two-way contracts by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then he just went out there and had himself a hell of a summer league in Vegas, starting multiple games, recording a few double-doubles, proving that he can rebound, block shots, shot well from the field. He was one of the bigger stars of the summer league. Well, now the former Tiger, who went undrafted, has been locked up after signing a two-way contract soon after the draft, which means that the team that signs him to the two-way contract has the rights for this season and could play him either in Iowa for the G League affiliate of the Timberwolves or with the big club, the parent club, is how they refer to it as, and had the option of turning that contract into a full NBA deal at the discretion of the Timberwolves. Well, they didn't wait for the season. T-Wolves did it yesterday. The T-Wolves ripped up that two-way deal they signed Reed to and then turned around and gave him a legit four-year contract worth as much as $6.1 million. That's according to The Athletic. Only the first year is guaranteed, but it still gives Reed a spot on the permanent Wolves roster for this season. No G League affiliate playing in Iowa amongst the corn. No, no. Naz is on the big boy roster for the T-Wolves. Big boy roster. He's going to make the 15-man roster for the Timberwolves. They were impressed by him so much that they gave him a spot on there. He'll be on a team with the likes of Jarrett Culver, top pick, Jeff Teague, Robert Covington, Andrew Wiggins, and of course, the big fella, Karl Anthony Towns. So congratulations to Naz Reid going from being undrafted to getting a two-way contract to then the team tearing up that two-way contract and giving him a four-year deal, first year guaranteed, worth $6.1 million. LSU Tiger getting paid. So congratulations to Naz Reid. That's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two is up next. Rant of the week in RPOs with RP3 on deck. Keep it live and local right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me thanks drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk through the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company, hour number two, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We started off today's show talking about the new man leading the Raging Cajuns baseball program. Coach Diggs had himself a heck of an introductory press conference. He displayed the passion, the dedication, also heard a lot of work ethic. He's the right man for the job. former UL assistant, just wrapped up 5 years there at Sam Houston State as the head baseball coach. Talked about him taking over the UL baseball program and honoring the late, great Tony Robichaud. I'm excited about this team. So should you be. It's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do, what kind of impact he's going to be able to make with recruiting. And you heard it there. You heard the fan base. We heard the clips jam-packed there for the press conference. It was open to the public. Lots of emotion, lots of tears, lots of joy. It was Cody, you were there. It was a tremendous scene.
It was, you know how when a press conference, you've been to plenty of press conferences. There's always that before it starts, there's the murmur in the room. People are just talking and, you know, whether it's media members or in this case, there's a lot of fans just hanging out and talking. Even Papa Domang was there at the press. That's how big of a deal it was. So this room was full, this gigantic room full of people. And as soon, you know, normally somebody would have to come to the podium and say, okay, we're going to get started now. You know, everybody take your seats or, you know, calm down. We're going to go ahead and do our thing. As soon as the doors on the side of the room opened and Dr. Maggard came out, followed by Coach Deggs, and then shortly before that, the Robichaud family came out and took their seats. And basically, as soon as Tony Robichaud's family came out and sat down, followed by the athletic director and then the new head coach, the room immediately went silent and completely respectful. And it was weird. They step up to the podium and they even kind of make a slight joke about it. You know, this would normally be when I ask everyone to, you know, calm down and take your seats, but I thank you for already doing it. Like, the room was very much hanging on everything that was about to happen. And yes, don't pardon the pun. I'm doing it on purpose here. Matt Deggs hit a grand slam when he came out and talked to the people. I mean, he did all the right things. And coming from somebody who didn't know anything about Matt Deggs, because I didn't necessarily follow Cajuns baseball when he was here his first go around as an assistant coach. So my first impression of Matt Deggs was, I mean, a home run. And the solidarity from UL, Bob Marlin was there. I saw Theo Sliman there. All the assistant coaches were there for baseball. Jace Conrad was there. I mean, there were the coming home for the UL community in general was, it was really, really cool to see. It's the first time I've really been a part of something like that. And I liked it a lot, Ray.
It was hearing the clips, talking to people, reading your story that you can see on 1037thegame.com about the introductory press conference. I love all of that. I love the outpouring of support from the UL community, but also the Raging Cajun fan base coming out there and welcoming a former assistant back home who has a very special connection to the program and to the man who he's replacing. We also wrapped up SEC Media Days in our number one final day, Vandy, Kentucky, Auburn. Closed out shop there at the Hyatt Regency in Hoover. And we also touched on Naz Reid getting that big deal. Goes undrafted, gets a two-way contract, proves himself during the summer league, then gets a four-year deal, first year guaranteed, worth $6.1 million. So he gets to be on the big boy roster for the T-Wolves, the former LSU star. But it's Friday, and it's hour number two, which means it's time for my rant of the week.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
Transfer portal. Transfer portal. I don't understand why this is a story. I just don't. It became a big talking point during SEC Media Days the last 4 days in Hoover. multiple reporters kept asking the transfer portal question to every coach, every player, every member of the janitorial staff there at the hotel to get their thoughts. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't give a damn. I don't care. And neither should you. So what? So what if kids are entering the transfer portal and treating it as if it's free agency and leaving to go to another program? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I just don't. Point number one. If you're running a good enough program and you're doing your job as the head coach and as an assistant coach, if a player leaves and enters the transfer portal, your season should not be affected if you're doing your job the right way. Period. If you're doing your job the right way and you're building up your staff and you're building up your roster and you have the proper amount of depth and you have guys who want to be there and embrace the competitive spirit and don't want to transfer out because they're not getting playing time or for whatever reason it might be, regardless if they want to transfer and go be closer back to home. Maybe they have a family member that's ill and they want to transfer from the school they're at and go back home. Great. Sign off on it. Thank you for your service. Appreciate you. Best of luck to you. Bye. We support you. God bless you. That could be the reason. The reason could be some type of incident occurs there. I'm a new coach. I take over. That player had a good relationship with the previous administration, or we're facing a bowl ban, so they want to leave. Fine. Sign off on it. Thank you for your service. Good luck to you. God bless you. Or reason number three, they just want more playing time and they don't want to play for you anymore. Okay, great. Why in the world, if you're a coach, would you want to have someone in your locker room that doesn't want to be there? That is a malcontent that doesn't want to be there. And I'm not talking about the first two reasons of people wanting to transfer because they want to be closer to home or the program's on probation or whatever it might be. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reason number three. I want playing time and I don't see the opportunity to get hit here, so I'm going to leave. Why do you want that kid on your team? You should want that kid to leave. Because the ones that will sit there and are being upset about not getting playing time, the ones that are being malcontents about not being in the limelight, about not being the guy, whether that's being the quarterback, wide receiver, starting left tackle, backup safety, it doesn't matter. Hell, it can be the punter. They have feelings too, by the way, special team players. It does not matter. If you keep them around, that spreads because their sour mood, their feelings, their lack of effort, their lack of desire of being part of the team concept always 100% of the time has a negative impact in that locker room and on that team, because that kid is not on an island, because there's going to be other kids that feel the same way. There's going to be other kids that support his decision and feel like he's getting a raw deal. And that causes division and that causes negativity. It can be a cancer in a locker room. So if you're one of these coaches, and I heard every coach talk about the transfer portal this past week in Hoover, and many of them complained about having the transfer portal. I don't want to hear you complain about it. I don't. If that kid doesn't want to be there, let them go, because I can guarantee you, you will find someone. There are kids that will run through a wall for you in this state or in the state of Texas. If LSU has someone that wants to enter the transfer portal, there are a dozen, two dozen, three dozen guys out there right now, good football players, team first guys, that would do anything they could to get a spot to be on that roster. So why not let that kid go? Enter the damn transfer portal. God bless you. Good luck to you. Have a nice day. And replace him with someone who gives a damn, that wants to be there. I understand it's free agency and you may not like it, but this is the world we live in now. The transfer portal's open. You can't close it no matter what they try to do. It's part of the fabric of the SEC, of college football in general. So if you got kids that don't want to be there, why are you forcing it to them to be there? Good riddance. This is big time college football. If you're telling me there's a kid at LSU that doesn't want to be at LSU, you're telling me you can't find another top prospect, another former five-star, four-star, or three-star prospect that would do anything they could to get there, that would transfer in from a junior college, that would walk on and be like, "Coach, I'm your guy. I'm ready to work hard. I'm ready to give blood, sweat, and tears for the Tigers." Or if you're in the state of Texas for Texas A&M, or if you're in Alabama for Alabama and Auburn, it does not matter. This whole narrative, this whole discussion about the transfer portal is ridiculous. It's a waste of time. If the kid does not want to be there, grant their release, let them go on their merry way, and you can find somebody else. Because there's always someone, regardless if it is football or if it is in the private sector, it does not matter. There's always somebody that wants your job more than you do, is willing to work for it harder than you are, and is better at it than you are. So if that kid wants to give up a scholarship spot and wants to give up a roster spot to transfer to somewhere else because they want more playing time, see ya. Good luck. God bless. And we'll find somebody else. That's why the transfer portal discussion is simply irrelevant and we're wasting our time having it. That's going to do it for my rant of the week. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, Cody Schutz is going to deliver the goods. RPOs with RP3 coming up next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
RP3 and Company back with you here on a Friday morning.
Blue Poncho!
About 20 minutes past 7 o'clock or so, we are live in the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. I'm Cody, he's RP3. This is RPOs, where I take a handful of topics from the sports world. I set them up for you, Ray, and then I give you the chance to decide whether you want to run with it, pass on it, or take the option to wait till later. Hence, why we call it RPOs with RP3. If you're ready, my friend, I would like to start with the story that led off today's show and kind of is the headline of the day and the weekend, I would imagine. Of course, I'm talking about the new Raging Cajun baseball head coach, Matt Deggs. He was fired up yesterday. Passionate is the most basic way to describe Deggs' energy. I'd never seen the guy, knew nothing about him, and I absolutely love him already. On my laptop yesterday at the press conference, in all caps at the bottom, I typed, "I love this dude," because I just wanted to make sure I remembered the feeling that I had listening to him speak. My RPO for you here, Raymond, is on Cajuns baseball returning to the postseason as soon as next year. I'm basically asking you about the success that Matt Deggs will have early on here at UL. Well, there's a lot of factors in that, huh? It's almost unfair for me. When I was writing it, I was like, this is an unfair question, but I did it anyways.
I'm going to go with option. It's going to be based on how well he recruits, because the program hasn't been to the postseason in, what, three seasons? Yeah. Three straight seasons of not making it to the NCAA postseason. That doesn't happen overnight. Okay. Now, to be fair, the Cajuns have dealt with injuries. Gunnar Leger never being able to come back and return to form played a huge role in that. So I have to see how he recruits. And, you know, maybe not the first season, but maybe year number two. You're going to have to give him some time, because he's going to have to put together his recruiting classes, put together the staff and everything like that. So I'm going to take an option. I expect him. What, he got to an NCAA regional in year number three?
Yeah.
I want to say at Sam Houston State. I'd say you could use the same thing. He's going to have better facilities, better assets, better recruiting base and everything like that. Plus, he's going to depend on his ties to Texas to be able to bring in Texas kids to come to the program. It's a national program. So I say, you know what? I'm not going to take an option. I'm going to run with it. By year three, they'll be back into an NCAA regional.
Okay. That's an interesting fact that I haven't seen pointed out anywhere. Dr. Maggard said, though, that they spoke with Brennan Breaux and Hayden Cantrell. Those are the two. There was a third player, and forgive me, I'll have to look up later and just remember who the third player was, but they spoke to three players on the UL team. Brennan Breaux and Hayden Cantrell were the two I remember, and they were kind of, they weren't part of the search for the new head coach, but they were the players that were asked, what kind of qualities do you see for your UL baseball head coach? So the Dr. Maggard and the whole team there that made this hire even consulted some players on the UL team before making the hire. And so nice. To me, I think that shows a lot of solidarity throughout your entire university there. So just something I thought I'd throw out there. But we're going to move on now. Let's move over from the diamond to the hardwood. Let's talk some Naz Reid now. You mentioned his $6 million contract that your boy got. Well done for him. He made the club at the NBA level for the Timberwolves. So we will see him in an official jersey come season time. Congratulations to Naz Reid. I really hope he does well. Nothing but best wishes for him. But I got to be that guy now, Ray. And I'm going to ask you to RPO for me on Naz Reid lasting the entire season at the NBA level on that NBA roster, and he doesn't just collect his one-year guaranteed money and then heads over to, like, the G League or somewhere else.
I run with it. I think he stays on the roster. Look, you don't – they didn't have to make this move, right?
It's true. They already had him under, quote-unquote, contract.
Right, and they already had his rights where they could shove him in the G League and then have him bring him up. So they had more control over what they could do with Naz Reid. The fact that they make the decision, which they don't have to rip up the old contract and give them a legit big league contract, 1 year guaranteed, 4 year deal, $6.1 million.
I guess that takes him out of the running for those 10 day contracts. See how when guys get hurt and you're a 10 day contract for this guy out of the G League.
Now, that's why I say I'll run with it. He'll be on the roster the whole year. Now, in the offseason, you don't know where the Timberwolves are going. There's some question marks on if they're built right. They could possibly do a rebuild in the next couple of years if they don't get things together. There's talk of maybe moving Andrew Wiggins. So you'll have to see what happens next offseason. But he'll be on the roster the whole year and 1 year guarantee. You don't make this deal if you don't think this is a guy that you can have around for the next few years.
Now that he's broken into the league, even if he's a bit of a journeyman maybe, hopefully he can stick around a little bit. It's tough to break in.
You can make good money as a journeyman in the NBA, brother.
And that could be Naz Reid's future. We shall see. I got another one here for you, Ray. We're going to talk a little MLB. Now, the Astros, you probably know, they played on the West Coast last night, took down the Angels, got the series split. Well done. Whether you know this or not, they play again today, this evening, as a matter of fact. They play at home. Yes, at home. They went all the way from the West Coast, L.A. or Anaheim, wherever the hell they were, back to Houston to play the Rangers tonight. That is terrible scheduling, to say the least.
That's right. But you can listen to the game live right here on 103.7 The Game. Pre-game, Astro launch 6:35, first pitch at 7:10. We'll take care of you the whole weekend for the three-game set with the Rangers.
And you'll be happy to know, A.J. Hinch did say, as bad as the scheduling is, they need this win, so he's going to play his regular guys. You won't be seeing any substitutions there. They actually sent Verlander home on Wednesday. They sent him home because they knew this scheduling deal was coming up, so they sent Verlander home early to get ready for his start. So another good sign there for the Astros. But what I wanted to get at now basically is to tell you that the Astros, because of this scheduling deal here, they're pissed. They're not happy. Josh Reddick called it BS. He said, I'll censor myself and we'll just call it what it is. He said, it's BS here. AJ Hinch says that it'll be brutal, but he thinks that the scheduling here is going to be addressed in the next CBA. He thinks something like this happening, there needs to be some kind of agreement in the CBA between the players and the league saying that you won't have to travel across the country overnight to then turn around and play another full game.
It's one thing if they played in St. Louis or Dallas, right?
Or Colorado if they hit the Rockies on the way home or something.
But they're coming all the way from the West Coast.
All the way back to Houston. RPO, this is an easy one, on the Astros getting screwed here by the MLB scheduling.
Oh, that's easy. Run all day long. Run all.
What were they thinking?
Who looked at that and go,
this makes sense. This will work.
This works. No. Maybe you get away with it if it was a day game.
If the
game four of that series was a day game,
the players say they hate maybe night travel is what they were calling it in the story. Night travel,
because you can't get comfortable, you can't get rested. Yeah, so I run all day long. Yeah, the Astros got screwed. But you can listen to them be very angry and go out there and hopefully take their frustrations out on the Texas Rangers there at Minute Maid Park. Once again, pregame tonight, 6:35, first pitch, 7:10. The good brother, Ben Love, will be at Ruffino's on the River live from 4 to 6:35. He's going to lead you right into Astro launch later today right here on the home of the Houston Astros, Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We got to hit a break. More RP3 and Company. Coming up next, our boy Barry. Barry Hurstis will join us. Stay tuned. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live in the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network. It's time now for us to head out to the Artco Equipment Hotline and welcome on our first guest of the day. He covers the New Orleans Saints for Big Easy Magazine and the Saints News Network. It's the one and only Barry Hurstis. Good morning to you, Barry. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, RP3, and yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. So let's get right to it. Rookies reported yesterday for training camp. Vets will be reporting next week, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Barry?
And most of the guys covering it, we won't be going until next week. I mean, the rookies are there, but it's a lot of classroom training and you know, learning the scheme and all that. I don't think they do a whole lot of physical activities until the veterans report next week. And then, of course, next Sunday, for those Saints fans interested in attending, next Sunday's practice will be the first practice where they'll be wearing full pads and full gear. And I guess I would imagine that day we'll see a little bit of hitting going on. And, hey, brother, when some pads come on and they start popping, you know football season has arrived.
That's right. We're talking to Barry Hurstis of the New Orleans Saints Network and Big Easy Magazine here on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Barry, I saw that you had an article up on Big Easy Magazine where you answer five of the biggest questions surrounding this year's team. Can you break those five questions for us down? What are the five questions heading into training camp?
Let's see if I can recall what I wrote. I know the first one was I said something to the effect, every year the Saints have a theme or a mantra, so to speak, that they follow. We all remember the Super Bowl year when it was finished strong, and they did finish strong that year, obviously. You know, and then we've had seasons like last year where the slogan or the logo was prove them right. Let's prove them right. That, you know, we all know how that turned out infamously. But point being, every year Sean Payton comes up with a little theme for his team to follow. And as I mentioned in the article, I don't know what kind of little fancy slogan or saying they'll come up with, but I guarantee you it's going to be something along the lines of finishing off an opponent when you have them on the ropes. Because as we saw, you know, the miracle in Minneapolis, and obviously with the no call, you know, you got to put teams like that away. Let's remember the Saints had a chance to put away the Rams early in that game. You know, if Dan Arnold makes that catch, it's 14-0. And maybe they go down and score again. You know, it's 7. I mean, it changed the whole complexity of that game. And same with the Minnesota game the year before. You know, they dominated that second half, but they didn't get the job done. And to me, I think Sean Payton is going to hammer that point home, and you're going to see the Saints especially – or so we hope, that when they get in the fourth quarter of these games, I mean, and look, in the regular season, they were money for the most part, pulling out games late in the end. But it's something about the NFL playoffs. This team is just, and, you know, other than the Super Bowl year, I can sit here and count the times that the Saints got their hearts broken, crushed, you know, in a divisional or wild card playoff game or in this case, the NFC Championship game. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. But I can guarantee this much, I won't be the one that asks Sean Payton that question.
We're talking with Barry Hurstis here of the New Orleans Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, you wrote a story for Big Easy Magazine about Rishard Matthews and how he's hoping that this is going to be the last stop on kind of his career and possibly a way of kind of ending his career on a high note. Tell us a little bit about more about Rishard Matthews.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's a guy who is, you know, he's got 8 years of experience in the league. You know, most notably with the Tennessee Titans, where he was number one receiver. You know, and there's been, it's been a kind of a problem everywhere he goes. First, you know, he played at the University of Nevada in Reno, where I used to live. So I'm very familiar with the Wolfpack football program out there. And I kind of try to follow him every year. You know, he was teammates with Colin Kaepernick. They share a very close relationship. They still tweet out to each other all the time. So, you know, so you're going to always have that, you know, with the controversy of political stuff that's going on in our country right now. He's kind of walking a fine line on that deal, you know, because, you know, as we know, Colin Kaepernick's a very controversial individual, and but they remain good friends. But that aside, the biggest thing for Matthews is he's always dealt with injuries or he's been phased out of an offense. When he was in Miami, it was because he basically didn't have a quarterback to throw the ball. When he got to Tennessee, of course, he hooked up with Mariota, and or Mariota, how you want to pronounce it, and Marcus Mariota, obviously former Heisman Trophy winner, one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. And he excelled. He excelled with Mariota quarterback in the Titans. But, you know, Titans changed coaching staff. I believe it was Mike Vrabel that took over as head coach, and him and Vrabel didn't get along. And Matt LaFleur, who's now the head coach now at Green Bay, but was the offensive coordinator with Tennessee, it said that LaFleur and Matthews didn't get along so well. So that's why he got released in Tennessee, or he asked for his release from Tennessee. And then he wound up with the Jets. But he only played 5 games because he got hurt. So bottom line is this guy can still play. I've seen him. I watched him practice all at minicamp. And he was beating guys left and right. Now, you know, was that a matter of, you know, fresh legs because he hadn't played in a while? Or, you know, we could speculate because I always try to be hesitant to say, well, this guy's got this much gas left in the tank. And, you know, even though he was such and such, you know, with Matthews, he's only 29. So it's not like this guy was old. He's just bounced around from team to team. And again, he just seems to have issues with, you know, he feels slighted or whatever everywhere he's been. I think he'll be successful here in New Orleans, assuming he makes the final roster, just because they're playing with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Because they have a different locker room standard. I'm not knocking Mike Vrabel probably could knock a Jets organization, but, you know, I'm not going to knock any of those other teams or their front office people for their evaluation. You know, what's done is done. But the bottom line is this guy he'll turn 30 in October. He's a great route runner. I mean, you see, that's the first thing that jumps out at you when you're watching practice is the way he runs routes. Because, I mean, you know, he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, but he just catches the ball. And look, if there's any kind of light at the end of the tunnel for nailing down that fifth and final wide receiver spot, I would put me personally, I would have my money on Matthews.
We're talking with Barry Hursis, contributor for the Saints News Network, as well as Big Easy Magazine, right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, we've talked extensively about the battle that's going to be at wide receiver. You just talked about Rishard Matthews. He's going to be part of that, guys fighting to be one of the starters and to be on the roster. That's going to be a heck of a competition during training camp. Give me another position that maybe we're not talking about that's going to be featuring some intense battles once training camp opens up.
Wow. Perhaps backup running back. You're going to have Javorius Buck Allen and Divine. I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm going to have plenty of practice here at camp in the next few weeks. Ozigbo, I think I said that right. That's an intriguing one to me, just because Ozigbo, nobody really paid attention to him. You knew he was there. You know the Saints signed him as a restricted free agent. That guy is pretty talented. You know, what he did in Nebraska in his senior season was very impressive. Now, I mean, it doesn't bring to mind Mike Rozier or one of those legendary Nebraska running backs like that. But for a guy who only played 2 years of college ball, he looked great, you know. So at Nebraska, and I hadn't really noticed him. He hadn't really stood out at camp. But there's a lot of players that I think, maybe they had a quiet rookie camp or quiet mini camp. Because remember, all these guys just got out of college. So their heads are swimming with information. It'd be like me trying to learn computer science or something. You know, it'd just be a bunch of numbers dancing over my head. So, but I like that position. And also, don't sleep. I'm telling you, don't sleep on the quarterback position. And what I mean by that is we all know Teddy Bridgewater is the designated second string quarterback. I hesitate to say quarterback of the future because that's still yet to be determined, really. But Taysom Hill has made a comment, I believe it was, I want to say after the second practice of minicamp, that he intends to be the backup quarterback. I don't think that quote got enough recognition as to what he was alluding to. Because if I'm interpreting him right, he plans on winning that backup quarterback position role over Teddy B. So we'll see how that works out. He's looked good. Taysom Hill has actually looked pretty decent in OTAs and minicamp. Whether he can beat out Teddy B for the number two spot, though, we'll have to see.
Talking with Barry Hursus of the Saints News Network, Big Easy Magazine, right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, real quick before we let you go, what are you most looking forward to once you're out there in the official capacity covering training camp next week? If you had to do one thing quickly.
I think what I want to see most is that fire. I mean, if you recall, I told you that for a team that was only in OTAs, in minicamp, how intense the practices were. It's almost as if, the NFC Championship game ended, but they have. It's almost like, I can't describe it, I don't want to say a state of shock or a state of revenge or whatever, but they are so focused. I'm telling you, man. And I see everybody's picking, not surprisingly, everybody's picking the Patriots again. Some of them are picking the Eagles. Some of them are picking Kansas City with good reason, although they've lost a few players. So you hear about all these other teams. And I know they had the Saints ranked number one a couple months ago, but apparently that's been thrown by the wayside because now everybody, as we get closer to August, September, the usual suspects, the Patriots, those type of teams are coming. Those are teams getting all the national attention. I'm telling you, they better not sleep on the Saints team. They still have that big time chip on their shoulder from the way that these last two seasons ended. They still got that bitter taste in their mouth, so to speak. And let me tell you, if they come out on the 9th of September in the Superdome Monday Night Football against the Texans, focused like they were throughout the entire offseason, buddy, you better watch out because it ain't going to be pretty. And I'm talking easily 13-3, maybe 14-2. Now, I know that's a lot of games to predict them to win. And when I submit my final prediction for the season at the end of August, like I do every year, you know, I might have tempered my expectations a little bit, but I'm telling you, I don't care who's on the schedule. If this team plays with the intensity and the fire and the passion that they brought all off season, the rest of the NFL is in trouble. That's all I'm going to say.
Barry, appreciate you taking time out for us. As always, we'll talk to you next week, my friend, as training camp kicks off there in Metairie for the New Orleans Saints. And rest up, brother. You're going to need it, my friend.
Oh, man, it's going to be some dog days of summer. It's been well over 100 and something with the heat index down here, as you might imagine. So I'm glad everybody made it through the hurricane. Hopefully all your listeners down there in Lafayette made out okay with the storm. I know you guys got hit pretty well. Actually took more of the brunt of the storm than we did. But let's pray for some good weather. And hey, man, let the chips fall where they may.
Well said, Barry. Well said. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, buddy. See y'all next week.
Barry Herstis, Saints News Network, Big Easy Magazine, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, helping us give us a little preview of New Orleans Saints training camp, which officially opens up with the vets next week. We got to hit a break, but when we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll wrap up hour number two right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Strohs dropped the first two games of a series once again after the All-Star break and rally to take the last two games to get a split. They did so with the Texas Rangers right after the All-Star break there in Arlington. Took 2 of 4 there and then did the same thing in Los Angeles of Anaheim County, San Diego Credit Union, whoever, whatever their name is, the Los Angeles Angels.
And the Astros, I guess, are still on the road traveling home because they got screwed.
This is what I want to briefly say. They got a split. Altuve looks like he's returning to form. Bregg is obviously still Alex Bregman. Springer, these guys are getting healthy. They'll get Carrera back here in the second half of the season. The main thing for the Strohs, if they want to make a push to get another World Series championship, they'll get out of this lull. Okay, they will. They'll stop splitting four-game series with the likes of Texas and Anaheim, or who are clearly inferior teams. But they will have to make a move, at least one, by the Major League Baseball trade deadline and get themselves another arm. They got Verlander, they got Garrett Cole, and they got Wade Miley, but they need another reliable starter because they're banged up and they need another guy. They're going to have to be aggressive during the trade deadline and bring in another arm. We'll see if they'll do that. They've been aggressive in years past. They've been smart about it. I expect them to do something once again, so we'll have to monitor that. Once again, you can listen to Astro Launch tonight, 6:30, first pitch 7:10, as the Astros host the Texas Rangers there at Minute Maid Park for a three-game series this weekend. That'll do it for hour number two. Hour number three coming up. Woo, Tyler Nunez is going to lead us off from Tiger Rag right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning.
You know, it's my job to do my job as best I can, but to be a good teammate. You know, I've always been great in the quarterback room, helping everybody out.
Former LSU and Saints star wide receiver Devery Henderson.
To get that opportunity, man, and get that call on draft day, seeing that 504 number, it was something else, man. When I got that call, man, it was real humbling, and you know, being able to play for Maine State and be still close to home.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome to hour number three of RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We've talked about a plethora of different topics on today's show. SEC Media Days recap, day four, yesterday. Put a bow on that coverage. We also talked about the new man leading the Raging Cajun baseball program and how he is the perfect fit. But we also talked about Naz Reid. Remember when people didn't think he was good enough to be drafted? Well, how'd that work? We're going to talk about the big fella who got himself a $6 million contract, 1 year guaranteed. He's going to be on the big boy roster for the Minnesota Timberwolves with our next guest. He covers the LSU Tigers for Tiger Rag. It's the one and only, our good friend, Tyler Nunes. Tyler, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I hate to say I told you so to those LSU fans who were complaining about him leaving early and not getting drafted, but Naz Reid's a hell of a basketball player, and he proved it during the summer league.
My man just was primed and ready to go. I love it. We're talking with Tyler Nunes of Tiger Rag right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, let's start with it. Look, here's a guy arrived on campus from New Jersey and buzz about being a possible lottery pick, first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
He got better as the season progressed. He didn't get worse. He got better, okay? Mm-hmm. He learned, he developed a little bit of a jumper. He got more aggressive with rebounding, and he became more of a complete player as the season progressed, and he helped LSU get to the Sweet 16. How does he go undrafted? That's my first question.
Well, first of all, I see why, like, looking at his tape, you wouldn't find him to be the most, like, imposing of centers or power forwards. He plays a very kind of laid-back kind of game. I like to compare him to Dirk Nowitzki in his style. He's not somebody who's going to go and attack the rim when he has the ball. He's going to see what he's going to kind of lay back, see what to do, analyze the situation. And that may be pass the ball off, which he had like a 20% assist rate during his summer league games, which is a big contribution to him getting this deal. Or he might take a jumper, he might take a floater, or he might make a spin move and dunk. He's very analytic in the way he approaches the game, and I can see why at the college level he wasn't as decisive, especially early on, and it led to some silly turnovers. Also, there were some questions about whether or not he wanted to play basketball. Those were thrown away as soon as he suited up. He went out there, he had a double double, which is pretty rare for a rookie, especially an undrafted rookie, to do in the summer league, and absolutely dominated his way. And he shot, I think, 38% from the 3-point line. I think he's 8 for 21. So, if he can get that to 40%, he'll absolutely have a place in the NBA for a long time. He's a heck of a basketball player. Very nice kid. Kind of soft spoken, which I think may have also played a factor. He's not as boisterous as a lot of these guys, but. Just a great basketball talent and a lot of skill. Very highly skilled big man.
Talking with Tyler Nunes, the Tiger Rag, right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. So he was an absolute monster during the summer league there for the T-Wolves. Yeah. It's rare, Tyler, that, you know, they already had him on the little two-way deal, and they could have controlled saying, hey, we're going to have you go play in, Iowa? Where their G League team is at, and then have you on the roster. They could have controlled that. They could have kept things as is, but the T-Wolves make the decision to rip up that contract and sign him to a legit four-year deal, first-year guaranteed, worth $6 million. How surprised were you to see an NBA team do that?
I was a little bit surprised. I can't lie. Usually when you get a two-year deal, that's a pretty good deal for the team. Because they can kind of choose how to use that guy. They can have him up in the NBA for up to 45 days. They must have seen something in him, and they thought he was worth more than 45 days up at an NBA roster. That's really what it comes down to. And for the Timberwolves, I mean, they're a young group. They're still trying to figure out where to move this franchise. They have a lot of wiggle room in that. They're where the Pelicans were at the start of this season, without the number one draft pick. So they have a lot of work to do, and I think that they see a young guy that they can kind of build around in Naz Reid, and he's going to be a great position player. Again, very highly skilled. What he was very good at LSU, he's going to be very good at the NBA. What he does is very hard to defend. Those turnaround jumpers are not easy to defend, and he's going to be a fantastic basketball player.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's talk about the other Tigers that took part in the Summer League. Tremont Waters had himself a good Summer League
inspiring.
As well.
Inspiring Summer League.
And he did that while suffering a tragedy. How impressed were you with the way Tremont handled the Summer League?
Unfortunately, the practice was right. Obviously, last year, he lost one of his best friends and then went out and led LSU to a Sweet 16 despite them being a man down. This year, obviously, probably much worse person for him. His father passes away a couple of days before one of their final G League games. He could have easily gone home and been with his family, but he wanted to play. That's how he wanted to deal with it. And he went out and dropped 16 points. Kind of unreal, especially for someone that, this is a guy who they've knocked on his size since he, was being recruited at a high school level. So, the fact that he's been able to go out there and he really had a very solid Summer League performance. Very good passing ability. He shot the ball well. He scored very well. I'm still not sure what Boston's going to do with him, especially considering they signed Kemba Walker. But he did prove that he can play with the big boys, and I think that he's definitely still going to have a chance to play at the NBA level.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez here, Tiger Rag on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, another former Tiger who performed well when given the proper amount of time was, of course, Cavell Bigby Williams with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah.
He had a couple double-doubles. Now, as the summer league progressed, they reduced his time because a lot of teams, they want to get those guys as many reps, as many minutes as possible. Does Cavell Bigby Williams have a future in the NBA, and do you think it's with the New Orleans Pelicans?
I think it's possible. I think that I really like Cavell Bigby Williams. I think that his style of basketball is something that every NBA team could use, at least off the bench. Just somebody who can go out there and rebound like that has just been invaluable. And you're not going to find many better rebounders, especially right out of college. Very often, they're just not around. So I would like to see him on the Pelicans as like a kind of reserve guy, someone they need in a pinch. If somebody gets in foul trouble, throw him in there. He's going to clean up the boards. He'll even score occasionally, and he's going to defend the rim well. So I think that I like Cavell Bigby Williams. I can see him being a role player somewhere. I don't know if that's too warm. The fact that they took a chance on him in the first place is a good sign.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, I want to switch off from the NBA, and I want to talk a little LSU football. I know you had to watch SEC Media Days from afar. You weren't there in attendance there in Hoover. But what were your takeaways from LSU, from Coach Ed Orgeron and company there in Hoover?
They're confident, man. It's kind of funny because we're used to such a doom and gloom kind of situation. It feels like LSU's coach has been on the hot seat, or we were trying to figure out what they were doing for the last 5 years at SEC Media Day. It was very strange to see an LSU head coach up there as comfortable and confident as he is. He's not on the hot seat, he's just hot, as Scott Rabelais put in The Advocate. I think it's good. I think obviously he's still talking about blocking out the noise, but it's a different kind of noise this time. Last year it was, you're only going to win 7 games. This year it's, you have a chance to compete for the national championship. So I like it. I like the swagger that those guys came in with. I thought Joe Burrow, Grant Delpit, Lloyd Cushenberry all did a really good job kind of conveying the message that Ed Orgeron and his coaches have been conveying throughout the summer. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out on the field.
Tyler, what did you make of Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond throwing a little bit of shade towards LSU?
Good. Do it. I love it. Look, I love it. LSU has been in dire need of an actual rival for years now. It's been a long time since Tulane in the towel. So I like it. Anything that kind of stokes those flames, I'm in for. Just pure entertainment value, in my opinion.
And, yeah, it became quite the buzzworthy when he says not only that he was the best quarterback in the SEC, but that, you know, LSU was cramping up during the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically saying that Texas A&M was better conditioned.
Look, Ray, I'm a professional wrestling fan. You know this. My favorite boxer, my favorite athlete of all time is Muhammad Ali. I like the trash talk. Let's go. I want to see it. I want to see LSU players fire back. And they have on Twitter. That's a lot of fun for me. I think that's when sports are at their best.
Yeah, when you get the attention of Jamal Adams on Twitter,
yeah,
that's going to be interesting. Tyler, how far out are we? You know, now Media Days is done, the talking season is wrapping up. When does LSU report for camp, and when does that ball get rolling?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure today, but it should be coming in the coming weeks. I guess we'll start seeing them suit up, and then we'll have, you know, big cat drills and updates from practice galore. So, but yeah, right now we're just kind of focusing on talking season. Over here at Tiger Rag, we're putting together our football preview, which is always a big venture, and we're putting the finishing touches on it now. So I'm looking forward to that hitting stands, and I'm also looking forward to just football season. It's been a long time since we just sat down and watched football instead of just talking.
Talking with Tyler Nunez here, Tiger Rag on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, look, we know that there's going to be a competition at wide receiver opposite of Jefferson. We know that the back end of the secondary is going to be legit, and really the front seven as well. What are you most interested to see when fall camp begins? What is there a position battle that you're going to be paying attention to?
Position battle. I don't know if it's necessarily a position battle. First of all, running back, I'm curious to see how those kind of play into the new offensive scheme. I'm curious to see what they do with John Emery and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, how they kind of use those guys. I think tight end is a really fascinating position right now. I think that obviously you've got guys like they got T.K. McClendon in there. As a grad transfer, obviously Thaddeus Moss is someone that we've wanted to see for over, you know, and then they've also moved Stephen Sullivan into that spot as well. So I'm curious to see how he performs. That's on the offensive side. On the defensive side, it kind of feels like everyone's kind of settled in. Everyone seems to kind of know their role. I think the battle between Apu Aika and Tyler Shelvin for the nose guard position should probably be very interesting. And that should be the biggest question mark, and I'm curious to see who comes out ahead there.
Tyler, appreciate you making time for us as always, brother. Enjoy
Absolutely.
The rest of your week, man, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
It's Tyler Nunez, Tiger Rag, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, breaking down all things LSU hoops and football for us. We appreciate him for doing that. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to keep the football talk going. We're going to talk a little Raging Cajuns football when we return right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Raging Cajuns. Sun Belt Media Days in New Orleans is Monday. Reminder. RP3 and Company will be back on the road, broadcasting live from New Orleans on Monday for Sunbelt Media Days.
Thank God.
I've already had to spend 2.5 hours back with you in the studio, Raymond.
Temperature's up like 15 degrees in here from all week. I don't know what. Think it's you.
You think it's me. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be broadcasting live from Sunbelt Media Days, RP3 and Company, 6 to 9 on Monday. We got a great lineup already scheduled for you. Billy Napier, other coaches for our show. The good brother Ben Love will also be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 on Monday as well, bumper to bumper sports. He's got Billy as well, plus Raging Cajun players and much, much more. So make sure to tune in for that as we'll be broadcasting live and reporting live from Sunbelt Media Days. But we enter Sunbelt Media Days with some good news that came out yesterday for the Raging Cajuns. Billy Napier's second-year squad has been selected to repeat as the Sunbelt West Division champs. The Sunbelt Conference released its preseason poll on Thursday in advance of the conference annual media day. The league's 10 coaches selected UL to win the West and App State to win the East, which would essentially be a rematch of last year's inaugural Sun Belt Championship game. That game this year will be held on December 7th, so mark your calendars. App State was also picked as the overall favorite to win the Sun Belt Championship game in a vote that included select members of the media along with the 10 football head coaches. Now, UL was picked to win the West Division, garnering 6 first-place votes for a total of 46 points. Not to get into all that, how that is dissected. Now, remember, last year, the Raging Cajuns started off play 2-3. Remember? They had that loss to Coastal Carolina. Remember that? They're like, uh-oh. Is this going to be a down year? You know, it's Billy's first year. It's going to maybe take a little while. But then they won 3 consecutive Sun Belt wins to close out the season strong and earned a spot in the inaugural championship game. Billy enters his second season at the helm. They return 17 starters from last year's squad, 8 on offense, 6 on defense, 3 on special teams. And the Cajuns last year finished 2nd in the Sun Belt in scoring offense, almost 32 points per game, and was 3rd in total offense, averaging 424 yards a game. And they may have the most formidable backfield platoon of running backs, not only in the conference, but maybe in the entire country, with Elijah Mitchell, former ERAF star, Trey Regis, and, of course, senior Raymond Calais, former Cecilia High star. That rushing attack ranked 3rd in the league last year at 218.7 yards per game. Filthy. And they have 3 guys they can just trot out there, and they're like, okay, we have 3 studs at running back. Once again, App State has been predicted to be the overall championship game winner. UL has been projected to win the West, followed closely behind, though, by Arkansas State. Now, remember, Ark State was a little down last year, but that game, the UL-Ark State game, that's a rivalry game, and it's always bananas. It's always a crazy game. I remember covering a game a couple years ago at Cajun Field that it appeared that Arkansas State had won the game, and they were celebrating on the field, and they got all mouthy, but then the refs overturned the call, and overturned the turnover call that led to a touchdown, and then UL won the game. Bananas. There's always juice to that game. So the West Division predictions, UL, followed by Ark State, and then a distant 3rd is ULM, Matt Viator and his bunch up there in northeast Louisiana. South Al. And then the east is obviously App State, and then followed by Troy. Cream of the crop, as always. You got to feel good if you're UL. The schedule's tough. We know that. They start off the year against Mississippi State, an SEC team inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And they got to play App State, and they got to play Ark State, and they got to play Troy. So they got to play 3 of the best teams in the conference. It's a tough schedule. We'll dive more into that later down the road when we get a little bit closer to the season. But the fact that the league's coaches have that much respect for what Billy Napier and his staff have done speaks volumes. Now, will it be easy to repeat as the Sun Belt Western Division champion? No. Ark State's going to be a handful. They just are. They always are. But you got to expect UL to be once again in the mix for a bowl game and to possibly win the Western Division title.
And how's the old saying go? If it's easy, it ain't worth doing.
Oh, good job, Cody Sheets.
I helped my grandpa clean up his yard yesterday with all the sticks and stuff from the storm.
Uh-huh.
So I got a lot of wisdom yesterday. A lot of old timey wisdom imparted on me.
Folksy.
Yes.
Folksy wisdom.
Yes. Exactly. Old Southern wisdom. That's exactly what it is.
So UL will enter Sunbelt Media Day on Monday there in New Orleans. Feeling good about themselves as they are predicted to win the Sunbelt Conference West Division championship and play for the championship game versus App State. But, of course, if you talk to Billy Napier and his staff or any of his players, they know that they have to go out there and prove it and back it up. We got to hit a break. But when we come back here on RP3 and Company, we're going to talk to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, the one and only Dan McDonald, about all things Raging Cajuns. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on our final guest. He is the Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer and the man who knows the Raging Cajuns athletics program better than anyone else in Acadiana. It's the one and only Dan McDonald. Dan, how you doing this morning, brother?
Doing well. I'm calling or talking about long distance this morning in Texas, but I've been keeping up with what's going on. So
I know you are, and I appreciate the time that you're making out for us, brother. Let's get right to it. Matt Deggs, former assistant for Tony, successful head coach at Sam Houston State. He becomes the man to replace Tony Robichaux as the skipper of the Raging Cajun program. Your thoughts?
Well, I think people who follow the program and are close to the program, that this was the number one choice, the obvious choice. Let me say right up front, I love Coach Babb to death, but Coach Deggs brought a spirit to this program when he was here a few years ago, when people remember well the results, and then went on and took a Sam Houston State program, which was good but not great, and took them to heights that they hadn't seen in a while. I think it was an obvious choice. I think it was a great choice. And you have a guy who I think Dr. Maggard said it best, that this is not just a guy who understands the culture. He was part of the culture, and he gets it. He knows this place, and you know, I think that, you know, they're not going to miss a beat as far as the product on the field. I mean, there's no one that will ever fill that hole, but he will come as close as anybody.
We're talking with Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Dan McDonald here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Dan, how fitting is it also that they are turning the program over to a man whose life was put back on track, whose life, his career and life was put back on track and kind of saved by Tony? How fitting is that when Tony, known for giving second chances and trying to do the best to give people an opportunity to better themselves, that the program is now being turned over to a guy that he himself helped?
Well, one thing I do want to say, that if somebody doesn't know Coach Deggs' backstory, they need to go back and read it. Even better, go and read his book, because he is a published author. He has written a book about all the trials and travails he had in his life and what sort of brought him around and brought him out of it. And obviously, Tony was a big part of that. But, you know, a lot of that you have to do yourself. Nobody can make you do things that, you know, aren't inherent in you doing them. And, you know, credit to him for, you know, turning things around like that. I'd say go and read his book if you haven't. If you're a baseball fan, especially now, if you're a Cajun baseball fan, you know, if you want to find out, you know, a little bit more about your new head coach, go get his book. Even if you know the story, you'll have all the details. You'll have the things that will sort of open your eyes to who this man really is.
We're talking with the Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Dan McDonald here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Dan, I want to talk about the golf tournament that's now been put together. UL athletic supporters and baseball fans and anyone who really admired Robe will now have the opportunity to honor him with this golf tournament. What can you tell us about the tournament and how it came to be?
Well, I can tell you that I think it's a tremendous effort by a few people that have gotten involved. Mike Strentz was one of the ones that got this going. Ken Myers, Travis Guidry, Todd Robertson's been a huge help out at Les Beauchesnes. I think word is now out. I probably won't have to give you a whole lot of details, but you can probably find it pretty easily. It's all over social media, and it's all over starting to get all over some of the regular media. It's a, you know, and it's going to be a great deal. They specifically kept it affordable for people, you know, which, but you know, a lot of fundraisers, you got those $300 and $400 entry fees and so forth. This one's not that. It's a, you know, it's a $125 entry fee, and anybody who plays golf tournaments knows that that's pretty much in line with a whole lot of other tournaments, and the opportunity that it's going to provide for everybody. Because not only are you going to honor the man, but you're also going to help out the family as far as mentally and financially and so forth. It's just going to be a great deal out at both ends. And it also falls in a great time because you're getting close. You're getting, you'll only be a week away from that first football game. You'll be able to sort of get your season going if you're a fan. And I think it's going to be a pretty special Friday, but I will encourage people, you know, don't wait because there's only a certain amount of space. And, you know, kind of just like that packed house they had on Sunday for Coach Robes Memorial and that packed church they had on Monday, this one's going to pack up pretty good too. I can foresee this thing filling up both the morning and afternoon shotgun. So make sure to get involved with the Rogue Tournament. If you're a golfer or if you're a Cajun fan, you know, it's going to be a fun time.
Once again, that four-person scramble scheduled for August 23rd there in Youngsville. And the tournament is open to all golfers with the field limited to the first 72 paid teams. You can read more about that at 1037thegame.com. We have a story about the golf tournament up on the website right now. We're talking with Dan McDonald, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Dan, Sunbelt Media Days is Monday in New Orleans. It's an event that you know extremely well with your background. Any storylines, anything that you're looking forward to seeing or hearing come Monday down there in New Orleans for the Sunbelt Media Days?
Well, number one, I hate that I'm going to miss it. I'm going to be missing it for the first time, but I just said I'm familiar with it. Having been there, I think every one of them since the Sunbelt started playing football. But I think the storyline outside of the Cajuns, of course, for local fans, you know, Appalachian State is undergoing a complete metamorphosis in their program. They were still picked by the coaches to win the East Division, but you know, it's going to be a different look, different view with Coach Satterfield moving on and a whole new coaching staff coming in, or a lot of new coaches coming in. I think it'll be interesting to see how they fare this year. I think the Sun Belt is pretty even as far as how the poll went. I think a lot of people are going to finish a little higher than maybe expected. Obviously, that means some finish lower than expected. I think it's going to be an interesting Sun Belt season. And you know, to be quite honest, the Sun Belt I didn't think was as good last year as it had been a few years in the past. And I don't know if that's going to be any different this year. Teams in their non-conference schedule who do well, and the Cajuns are one of them, that the schedule sort of works out that they can do well in the non-conference. You know, I think that they're going to be the ones that are going to be in line for those bowl game spots. And of course, you've got that carrot at the end of the season now, the conference championship game that'll be in its second year this time. And you know, if you have that best record, you can host, and that's a pretty good impetus for teams that want to get there. But you know, I'm interested because I'll be following it online, and people can follow it completely online on both ESPN3 and on the Sunbelt YouTube channel. And I'm interested to see how some of the coaches, you know, what they really feel about this coming season.
Dan, appreciate you making time for us while you're enjoying family time over there in Texas. Keep that up, brother. Enjoy your time off, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, Raymond. Appreciate it.
That's Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Dan McDonald joining us, talking all things Raging Cajuns. It's going to be weird not seeing Dan McDonald at Sunbelt Media Days on Monday. I'm not going to lie to you.
What's crazy is that, though, he proves how much he lives and breathes the vermilion and white Raging Cajuns. Because even interrupting, when he picked up the phone, when I called him, he told me he was making breakfast for the grandkids and still carved out some time to talk, you know, Tony Robichaud's legacy, the new head coach, Raging Cajuns in general. Like, Dan McDonald, a pro's pro.
Pro, Pro's pro. We appreciate his time talking all things Raging Cajuns for us. Hey, Gulf Brew is back. Text BREW, B-R-E-W, to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets valued at $100 to this year's Gulf Brew at Blackham Coliseum on Saturday, July 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. Gulf Brew is back. Just text BREW, 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets.
Isn't that tomorrow?
That is correct.
Oh, Gulf Brew's tomorrow. Get ready. Get turnt.
Get turnt? My man said get turnt. My man's ready for Gulf Brew.
It's Lafayette's largest beer festival. What is there not to get turnt about?
You are correct, sir. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we will wrap up today's show and the week that was right here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Hey, just a reminder, guys, because I got a question to ask. You ready, Cody? I'm asking the listeners, too.
But I had a question for you, but you go first.
Who's ready to win a share of $25,000?
Oh, I see. I'm not eligible.
You are not eligible. But if you're ready, then make sure to listen every day for the Swinging for Cash contest right here on 103.7 The Game, KDN Sports Station. Look, the only thing you got to do is just listen for the keywords every weekday. There's five keywords a day, okay? So you just listen for those keywords. Enter them online at 103.7thegame.com. You'll see the Swinging for Cash logo right there on the homepage. You click on it. That's your chance to win. That simple. That simple. You hear the keyword. You can write it down. Make a note on your phone if you want to. Then go to 103.7thegame.com, click on the Swinging for Cash contest, and just enter the keyword for your chance to win a share of $25,000. Every weekday in July, someone new is going to win a cool $1,000, and that could be you. So make sure to check out the Swinging for Cash contest on 103.7thegame, Acadiana Sports Station. Cody.
Tease alert, though.
Tease alert. When's the next keyword, my friend?
Without giving too much away, I would like to inform you that the next keyword will play. I think the bosses are they're not listening. It's going to play in the next break. Just wait to the end of the show.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go.
It's really hard to whisper into a microphone. The microphone does the opposite of that. But yeah, if you wait till the next segment, when this segment's over, we go into break, just wait. It'll play then.
Just play then. Hey, and if you haven't signed up for our Clubhouse Rewards Club at 1037thegame.com, what are you waiting for? Take a moment out, sign up for the Clubhouse Rewards Club, because when you do, you get opportunities for chances to win gift certificates and so much more. If you become a member of the Clubhouse Rewards Club right now, you can go on there and enter to win for a $50 gift card from Poor Boys Riverside Inn in Little River Inn. Also, our Houston Astros Weekend Getaway Sweepstakes, powered by Lafayette Roofing and Aloft Houston Downtown. Guess what? That's through the Clubhouse Rewards Club as well. You can enter to win four tickets to a Saturday and Sunday game and a one-night hotel stay August 3rd and 4th for the Astros versus the Mariners. The Houston Astros Weekend Getaway Sweepstakes, powered by Lafayette Roofing and Aloft Houston Downtown, is available through the Clubhouse Rewards Club, once again, at 1037thegame.com. So if you haven't joined, no excuses not to join today.
I have a question for you now, Ray. And this is one that you are eligible to answer and be a part of.
I am ready.
You spent all week.
Blue poncho.
Right. You spent all week at SEC Media Days. Crazy coverage there, running insane left and right, seeing all the head coaches, all the players, that whole deal. While you were gone over here, we had UL Baseball announce and introduce Matt Deggs as their new head coach. We had a big, giant press conference there. So from this entire week, what would you say is the headline? From Monday to right now at 8:51 a.m. on Friday morning, what would you say is the headline from this week? Whether it's SEC Media Day related or maybe Cajun baseball related, what do you got? Is it?
It's Cajun's baseball.
That's the headline of the day?
An icon has passed away.
Right.
One of the most respected coaches in his sport and in the state of Louisiana.
Right. And unexpectedly on top of that, which makes the, what's the word, the atmosphere around this entire situation different.
Charged. It's emotionally charged.
Yeah.
Right. And then for the university to make the decision not to wait around and to make the decision to hire his replacement a little more than 2 weeks after his passing to keep the program moving forward. And they knocked it out of the park because they hire a guy whose story, you heard Dan McDonald talk about it, go check out his book, the coach's book. His life was spiraling out of control. He lost his job at Texas A&M. Alcoholism took over. He was working a job making only $11 an hour. And because he put in the work, as Dan said, look, you don't turn your life around like that and you don't battle that and overcome that adversity without putting in the work yourself.
Some intestinal fortitude.
Correct. So he did that. Dex did that himself. But Tony gave him a chance. And not to be too preachy, but Tony wore his faith on his sleeve.
Yep.
It's very much part of being faith driven is forgiveness and giving people another opportunity and giving second chances and not holding grudges. And Tony walked the walk. He walked the walk, he talked the talk, right? And that's a perfect example of that once again. And to have a guy that Tony took a chance on and helped get his life and his career back on track and have that guy come back to keep moving forward, to keep the program going in the right direction, to keep that standard that Tony had here for the Raging Cajun baseball team for 25 years, that is the storyline. A baseball coach being hired overshadowed SEC Media Days for me. And I wasn't here to even take part in the press conference because we were traveling back. And I was there at SEC Media Days, and it is an extravaganza, and it is something I'll never forget. Don't get me wrong. But the one that probably mattered the most is what occurred yesterday there at Russo Park when they announced the successor for Tony Robichaud.
It was really nice to hear the feeling, the emotion is the word, in Deg's voice when he was talking. He talked about how Coach Robichaud gave him that chance when nobody else would and all this. And he says, Tony told him, I don't really care what you did. And when Deg said that, he stopped and changed his tone and looked at the audience and said, Tony, he was kind of like that. He didn't care what you did. All he cared about is what you're going to do. And when Deggs heard that, he was all game to join this program. And now for it to come full circle, I think there's one clip out of all these. My favorite clip, I think, is the story from when he was at church and there was a young girl there.
Let's play it again.
Consoling him on Coach Robichaud's death, and come to find out that in Huntsville, Texas, he goes to church with a girl who played soccer for the Raging Cajuns. And he knew at that moment that the Lord was telling him that he needed to come back to this program. But this clip, I think, is what sums up a lot of my feelings for it and where I hang the most on this hire, because this goes, it is Tony Robichaud. I'm sorry, it is Tony, because this goes beyond baseball. This doesn't matter if it's baseball, if it's the oil field, if it's the airport, if it's the local Walmart. Doesn't this clip here for me and what Tony Robichaud did for Matt Deggs is just, this sums it up.
7 years ago, Coach saved my life and he saved my family. I'm here today to say thank you, Coach. We're here today because of him. Coach always liked to say that he wanted guys that would drink through a water hose. Well, I'm here today, Cajun Nation, to sign up. Sign me up, because that's just my game.
Coach Robichaud saved his life and his family. Yes, he says he wouldn't be here today without, and yes, that does pertain to being the head coach of Louisiana baseball, but he wouldn't have his family. He wouldn't be the man he is. I mean, it goes beyond baseball for me, and I get chills thinking about it, because Tony Robichaud, that's what he wanted to be remembered for. And without a shadow of a doubt, that is his legacy. And it'll, like Coach Deggs said, will live on forever.
I agree. That's why I think the hire is perfection across the board. It's the right man for the job, for this community. And just a tragic situation losing Robe like the University and Raging Cajun Nation and all of Acadiana did, and that's a huge loss, and you're not going to be able to replace him, like Dan said. But you got a coach in there that's going to honor Robe. It's going to continue building this program and
do things the right way.
He's going to do things Robe's way.
Yeah.
Right. And that, I think, can put everyone at ease. And it's a tremendous hire. That's a great way to end today's show and a great way to end a tremendous week. I want to thank all of our guests all week from Radio Row, by phone, in studio, the whole nine yards. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you all on Monday from New Orleans, Sunbelt Media Days, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.